Happy Thanksgiving! Today I'm joining Lauren Cox, the host of Locked On Bears, to preview this weekend's game between the Jets and the Bears. It's a special Thanksgiving crossover Thursday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, welcome into this crossover Thursday, Locked On Bears, Locked On Jets. I'm Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears, along with John Buchko from Locked On Jets, putting together our preview for this big post-Thanksgiving matchup between two teams with some real quarterback situations going on, two very different quarterback situations, but some uncertainty on one side and some newfound certainty on the other. Today's crossover Thursday podcast is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so much fun. It's easy to play. No competing with other players, just you versus the projections available. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It can literally take less than 60 seconds to enter. It's that easy. We love Prize Picks, and we know you will too. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. John, the big Jets quarterback news comes out late Wednesday morning, or I guess it might have been afternoon, East Coast time. I don't know exactly the exact timeline there, but Zach Wilson benched Mike White to get the start on Sunday. I mean, obviously, it kind of goes without saying that's the big Jets storyline of the week. I guess what's sort of your initial reaction? What's going on?
Well, it's amazing, Lauren. Now, we don't know Justin Fields' status. I'm sure we'll get to that in a bit, but this looked like when the schedule came out, it was going to be the big battle between the quarterbacks who were first round picks in 2021, quarterbacks who were so frequently compared. We may not get either in this game. We definitely will not have Zach Wilson. As you mentioned, Zach Wilson is being benched. Mike White will get the start at quarterback for the Jets on Sunday. It's really surprising we've gotten to this point, because if you had asked me prior to that game against New England whether there was a chance Zach Wilson was going to be benched, I would have told you no. And it's not because Zach Wilson's been great this year. Zach Wilson has been very up and down. And unfortunately, as was the case last year, I think there have been more downs than ups. But I think it's a combination of things that led to this. The first thing is just Zach Wilson was terrible in that game against New England. And Zach Wilson, you know, you could, it's never one player, so I can't say he cost them the game himself, but he was probably the biggest reason the Jets lost. Jets lost a game where they allowed 3 points on defense. It's tough to believe that happened. They got nothing going on offense. I mean, in the second half, you had to measure their average per play by inches, not by yards. I mean, it was that ineffective on offense. Zach Wilson just, unfortunately, at this point in his career, has not developed. His mechanics are a mess right now. He's wildly inaccurate, even on check down. He missed a couple of check downs in that game against New England wildly. I think he's got issues making reads on defenses. He panics whenever at the first sign of pressure. It's just not a good situation right now. And head coach Robert Saleh indicated in his press conference on Wednesday, as much as anything, they're just doing this to try and get Zach Wilson's head on straight, because right now Zach Wilson's just in such a bad place, struggling, that they're kind of trying to rebuild his confidence. And there's also an element in the locker room where Zach Wilson made some comments after the game that did not go over well. He's asked something to the effect of, "Did you let the defense down?" His answer was no. And there were a number of reports after the game that did not go over well among, you know, the defense that gave up 3 points and somehow lost the game. In fact, there were two Jets defenders, Sauce Gardner and John Franklin Myers, usually I hate like when people like try and like find meaning in some like sort of cryptic social media post. But in this case, it was pretty clear what happened. John Franklin Myers and Sauce Gardner both liked tweets that were critical of Zach Wilson for that statement. And they both had the same reaction afterwards. They said, "I didn't mean to do that." Amazingly, like two guys on the same team didn't mean to do that. So, and Robert Saleh, yeah, amazing. It's like, what a coincidence. Robert Saleh said that there was some, you know, he downplayed it, but he did acknowledge that there were some tough feelings in the locker room at this moment. You know, I don't know. The New York media loves to blow stuff like this out of proportion, so I don't want to like overstate how big it is, but it's obvious that there's a problem. There are issues in the locker room right now that can be worked out, but need to be worked out. So this leaves Mike White in the lineup. Mike White, who last year actually played a great game against a Bengals team that went to the Super Bowl. He threw for 405 yards. He lit up the Bengals. And 1 week later against the Colts, he played a great first half and got injured and had to leave the game because he had an injury with his hand. Then the next week he played against Buffalo and threw four interceptions. My guess is that the Buffalo Mike White is probably closer to the real version than what you saw against the Bengals. But, you know, a guy who began the season as the number three quarterback apparently impressed the coaching staff enough to get to the backup role. He replaced Joe Flacco a few weeks back as the number two quarterback and started getting active for games. And, you know, I don't know that Mike White's starting the rest of the season for the Jets. Robert Saleh indicated that they're going to try and get Zach Wilson back in there. Of course, a lot of that's got to do with how things go with Mike White. If Mike White plays well, he'll keep the job as long as he does. If he plays poorly, then, you know, maybe it's Joe Flacco. Maybe Zach Wilson goes. I mean, I think this is going to be one of those seasons where down the stretch, Jets are in the playoff mix. They may just go with whoever the hot hand is that week. And if whoever plays himself out of the lineup, it's next guy up. But Lauren, I know there are some question marks about the Bears quarterback situation. It could be Justin Fields, the second year quarterback, who really seems like he's making progress. And it could be Jets legend Trevor Siemian, who was with the Jets in 2019 and started one game. He was the backup quarterback for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold got mono before the week 2 game against Cleveland. Trevor Siemian started the game, threw 6 passes, completed 3 for 3 yards, 3 for 6, 3 yards, and then suffered a season-ending injury, which ended his Jets career. So it could be a very emotional return to the Meadowlands this week for Trevor Siemian. If Justin Fields can't go, what do you think the Bears quarterback situation is at the moment?
Yeah, so we heard from head coach Matt Eberflus that, you know, Justin Fields is still the ominous day-to-day designation, but that he was cleared to practice on Wednesday and participates in a limited capacity. And they're just going to kind of feel, you know, how he does at a walkthrough practice. How does it increase the pain? How is he feeling about it? And then how Thursday goes and how Friday goes. And I think the Bears are not going to declare a starting quarterback until as close to kickoff as absolutely possible to try and hold on to whatever competitive advantage that might provide for this team. I'm of the mindset that, like, if there's any re-injury risk or worsening of the injury risk, that you shouldn't play Justin Fields. But I think there's going to be some real tension in the building as to what's going to be the best course for him and for the team and what they want to do moving forward. Certainly Fields gives them a lot better chance to win than Trevor Siemian, but his health in the long term is definitely going to be the more important aspect there. And so I think they're going to keep kind of playing this coy sort of long-term game there for their quarterback situation. I'm curious real quick before we move on to our matchups here. Do you feel like Mike White gives the Jets a better chance to win right now than Zach Wilson, or would you feel like Joe Flacco would give them an even better chance to win than Mike White? I mean, we know it's going to be White, but I guess how do you sort of rate the quality you're going to get there, or your expectations? How do those change based on who's the quarterback?
You know, I've been saying on Locked On Jets all week, I feel like you can't say it's a coin toss because there's no such thing as a three-sided coin, but I feel like the odds are about equal. You'll get a good game out of any of them. I think they all bring different things to the table. In Flacco, you have the veteran, so you know you have a guy who knows how to set the protection. You have a guy who does a good job avoiding sacks, doesn't really move within the pocket. Now, the problem with Flacco is once there's pressure on him, the play's over. He's just going to check it down. He can't even slide in the pocket at this point of his career. And even though you may look at his numbers, he started the first 3 games when Wilson was injured. The numbers look great, but most of his production came in the second half of games when the Jets were behind multiple scores and they were playing soft zones. They're essentially playing prevent. So he padded his stats a lot in those games, but he brings a veteran element. He's generally going to take care of the football and he'll know how to get you in the right play. You know, you're not going to be able to fool Joe Flacco at this point in his career because he's seen it all. With Mike White, you have a guy who, you know, sparked the team last year, and you have a guy who can get the ball out quickly. And generally, you know, he makes decent pre-snap reads. Now, he threw 8 interceptions in like 130 pass attempts last year. Now, 4 of them came against the great Bills defense, but he was mistake prone. I think he's limited in terms of what his arm can do. In that game, this is an amazing fact. In that game I mentioned where he threw for 405 against the Bengals, he did not attempt a single pass 15 yards down the field. So he's not really a guy who's going to – it's amazing. You can play 100 games like that and probably never throw for close to 400 yards, not even trying to push the ball down the field once. you know, he limits the offense in that respect, but he's a guy who I think is comfortable within the system. They've shown they could design a game plan for him. And Zach Wilson, you know, you have the raw untapped potential, I guess. You know, he hasn't really shown it. He did show he could execute a pretty basic game plan a few weeks ago against Buffalo. Zach Wilson generally makes the right pre-snap reads, but when you fool him, it just kind of falls apart for him. If you get a free runner on Zach Wilson, he's pretty good at salvaging the play. He's athletic enough to avoid the pass rush, so he's less likely to take the killer sack than maybe another quarterback might be. But, you know, it's a sad commentary on where things are for the Jets right now, because he's the second overall pick. He should be head and shoulders above everybody. And I think the fact that I'm saying there's like an equal chance any of the three could play good, that's not a good sign for Zach Wilson or for the Jets right now.
Regardless of who the quarterback will, well, we know who the quarterbacks will be for the Jets, but regardless of the quarterback situations, still going to be a lot of the same supporting cast on the outside that they need to take better advantage of. We'll kind of go through some of the key matchups that we see beyond that quarterback position for both of these teams as we continue our Crossover Thursday podcast here, Locked On Bears, Locked On Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. BetterHelp is here to help you with your mental health because everyone deserves to feel their best, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. It gets you all the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. And if you can't find quite the right person the first time, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. It's really important to find that perfect relationship for you and your mental health professional. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. So get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. com/lockedon. Locked On Bears, Locked On Jets, Crossover Thursday, Lauren Cox and John Buchko. John, both of these quarterbacks looking for some better help perhaps this week from their supporting cast. You know, the Jets are coming off of just 3 points on offense against the New England Patriots, and the Bears have struggled certainly defensively over the last month and a half here. And if it's not Justin Fields, the scoring is going to be a lot more difficult for this Bears offense. And so I guess when I start looking at potential matchups here, I know Chicago wants to get Chase Claypool, their new wide receiver, more and more involved in this offense. And it's been sort of a slow build-up process. And I can't help but look at Sauce Gardner on the other side this week as a tough matchup for a wide receiver to come in and try and get. I mean, I think those guys can really sort of battle physically at the line of scrimmage and working their way downfield. And I'll be curious to see, you know, if the Bears try and force some of those balls that way just to try and get Chase Claypool involved, that they become too sort of hamstrung by, you know, trying to test a really good cornerback, a young cornerback, but a really good young cornerback on the other side of the field. Or if, you know, Claypool offers maybe a little bit more size and speed than Gardner's been going up against for a lot of the season. And if there's, if that jump ball goes downfield, and if there's some kind of opportunity for Claypool to make just one big play here or one big play there, you know, I certainly don't see Gardner as any sort of a vulnerable matchup. It's going to be a little bit of a clash for the Titans on that side of the ball. But I think the Bears are going to be looking to try and get more out of that spot because we just haven't seen the big Claypool production just yet after trading a second round pick for him to bring him in to try and give Fields, or perhaps in this case Trevor Siemian, a better target on the outside to throw to.
Absolutely. And Sauce Gardner's been outstanding this year. Sauce Gardner's playing at a Pro Bowl. Sauce Gardner's playing arguably at an all pro level, which is impressive. You know, even as a top five pick, he's just been outstanding this year. Stephon Diggs beat him once in the game they just played against Buffalo, but outside of that, he's been phenomenal. And the other thing is he's been great in big moments. There have been two plays where the game's been on the line. He's been targeted on a deep pass late in the fourth quarter of games, and he's held up. He's a guy I have total confidence in at this point. I don't want to say he's as good as Darrell Revis because he's not, but this is the first time since Darrell Revis when the Jets have had a corner where I say, you know, I don't care who the matchup is. I think the Jets have a good shot to win this matchup. And on the other side, DJ Reed's playing really good football. Now, Claypool may be a bit of a difficult matchup for him because DJ Reed's a bit undersized, but he plays bigger than he is. He's a guy who high points the ball really well. He's very sticky in coverage. You know, he stays with his guys pretty much throughout the snap. You know, he's kind of flown under the radar because all the attention, and rightly so, has been paid to Sauce Gardner. But the Jets really have a lockdown duo on the outside and a good slot corner in Michael Carter II, who's having a really solid second season in the league. The area, this is a matchup I'm looking at as a potential problem for the Jets, and this is really like the one area where I think if the Jets can somehow hold their own here, they're going to have a really good shot at winning the game, is at the tight end position, Cole Kmet versus C.J. Mosley versus, you know, maybe Quincy Williams, Quan Alexander, because the Jets linebackers in coverage are a weakness. And, you know, their safeties have been very up and down. They have LaMarcus Joyner and Jordan Whitehead at safety, both of whom have had outstanding games, but both of whom have had some games that have been pretty poor. You know, they're very, pretty inconsistent. But at the linebacker position, if there's a weakness on this defense, it's linebacker. So Quincy Williams has been playing decently. C.J. Mosley, you know, a lot of very respected guy in the locker room, a team captain, but clearly not the guy. Has lost a step since the days in Baltimore. Maybe not a great fit for the system Robert Saleh runs. So for me, like, I'm looking at this, if, when the Bears have the ball, it's the tight end position, because that's where I think the Jets are vulnerable. And part of it's going to be, you know, the Jets defensive line has been playing great. If they can get a pass rush to Fields or Jets legend Trevor Siemian, you know, that they can help protect the linebackers a little bit. But that's really the spot. I think you're right. Claypool versus Sauce is going to be a heck of a matchup. It's going to be one worth watching. I feel I like the Jets' chances at Sauce against anybody at this point. The linebackers, though, that's where you, if you're going to go after the Jets, you want to go after the linebackers.
And I think when you look at it the other direction with the Jets' offense and this Bears' defense, the number one weakness I see in this Bears' defense right now is a complete lack of pass rush. I mean, especially from their four-down defensive linemen. They spent the last 2 weeks blitzing an inordinate amount. This is not a defense that wants to blitz, but they've been blitzing super heavily the last two games because they just can't get anything consistent from their group up front. And I look at a Jets offensive line that has had to rotate a bunch of different players in there and kind of have a bunch of different lineups. And not that there's not talent at that group, but it just seems like with all the moving parts, there's been a lot for guys to kind of catch up with and try and have new guys get used to blocking with the guys next to them. And so it's not that I see the Bears having the advantage in that matchup, but this might be as favorable as of a pass rushing matchup as they have had. And the Bears need somebody to step up and generate some more of that edge rush or the interior too. Justin Jones has not been what they've hoped him to be as a three technique defensive tackle. And then they've been rolling with their younger guys, Trevis Gibson and Dominique Robinson, as their starting defensive ends. And it just hasn't, the production hasn't been there. They brought in Taco Charlton from the Dallas Cowboys, who as off of the practice squad, to try and mix somebody in there, and his snaps should go up this week. But I'm not necessarily super optimistic that all of a sudden it's going to be unlocked. But if they can get a little bit more pressure on a Mike White, or if Joe Flacco ends up in the game for some reason, like, maybe there's a little bit more room against a more of a statuesque quarterback than Zach Wilson, who has a little more of the wheels to get out of the pocket and make something happen.
It's been unbelievable how many injuries the Jets have suffered on the offensive line this year. Let me tell you something, Lauren, that's amazing. At various points now, Dwayne Brown's back. George Fant actually may be back on Sunday, which could help the Jets on the offensive line. But at some various points this year, five different Jets tackles have been on IR. In fact, one of them is Elijah Vera Tucker, who was a guard. He was a guy the Jets traded up for in the first round last year. They wanted him to play guard. They got so desperate with all the injuries at tackle, sheer desperation, they threw him to tackle, and they kind of found something. You know, he actually held up pretty well. So he actually may be moving to tackle, you know, necessity of being the mother of invention, but he suffered an injury. It's been a patchwork offensive line. Last week, the Jets' two starting tackles were guys who were not even on the team at the beginning of training camp. Now, one of them is the veteran Dwayne Brown. The other is Cedric Obwehi, though, at right tackle, who they signed, you know, after the season began. They started him off at the practice squad and had to bring him up, had to throw him into the lineup. So yeah, it's been a tough situation. As I said, George Fant coming back this week, if he's back. We don't know. He could be. There have been rumblings he could come off IR. I think that would help. But even so, he'll be, you know, entering the lineup. He's not going to be used to the guy playing next to him. You know, he started the season at left tackle when Brown was down, so you got some chemistry issues there. So I think, yeah, if there ever was a get right game for a defensive line, it could be the Jets. It's just because the Jets have so many issues, have had so many injury issues up front. And I'll give you a guy I'm looking to see how he plays. The matchup, I think, is going to be Elijah Moore versus Kyler Gordon in the slot. And it's not so much about Kyler Gordon. It's more about Elijah Moore, who has had a turbulency. I think turbulent would be the word I'd put. Started off the season playing okay. Last year he ended last year with a flourish before missing the last couple of games with an injury. Started off the season with a decent, first four games, then kind of fell out of the mix on offense, then demanded a trade, left the team facility, was deactivated for a week. He's come back. He really hasn't been a big featured player in the offense. There just hasn't been good chemistry between him and Zach Wilson, though. And that's been going on for 2 years. Just they drafted the two of them in the same draft class, hoping Moore would be Zach Wilson's go-to guy. And it really has not panned out. However, last year, Elijah Moore's best stretch of football came when Mike White was playing quarterback. And I look for Elijah Moore. I look to see if the Jets will get him more involved this week, because that was a duo that had good chemistry last year. And I think that this might be a guy who maybe sees a little bit more action now with Wilson out and White in the lineup.
And Gordon has had some real rookie mistakes in this Bears secondary. There have been times when he looks a lot more vulnerable than you would expect a second round pick. I mean, yes, he's a rookie, so there's going to be mistakes, but it's been very up and down for him. He's been more reliable, like stepping up as a tackler. He's blitzed a couple of times and been effective. And, if you throw the screen pass in front of him, he's not going to let, you're not going to miss the tackle too often there. He's going to be physical in that way. But, downfield coverage or even in the red zone, especially, there have been some times when receivers have gotten the better from him in a way that it's lower than you would expect from somebody like Gordon. So I think that's definitely a key matchup to keep an eye on there. And we'll go a long way towards determining who wins this game and what that final score looks like. We'll go through our score predictions and kind of wrap up our Bears-Jets preview as our crossover Thursday podcast continues here on the Locked On Podcast Network. This crossover Thursday is brought to you by our friends at Bet Online, the number one source for all of your sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. The news of Mike White starting over Zach Wilson hasn't moved the betting line all that much. I'm still seeing Bears plus 4.5 as we're recording right now. So Jets 4.5-point favorites there. It did bring, I think, the over-under came down to 39. So expecting a little bit more of a low-scoring game, and some of that could be to do with the unknown for the Bears quarterback situation, because I think Simeon versus White is going to be a lot lower scoring game than perhaps Justin Fields versus White. But if you like those odds, Bet Online is going to be the place to get all of your sports betting needs across sports, not just for Bears or Jets games, but basketball season, World Cup going on, esports. They've got it all at betonline.net. It's the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head on over to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Today's crossover Thursday episode of Locked On Jets and Locked On Bears is brought to you by SimpliSafe. If you've ever thought about securing your home with home security but have been putting it off, you'll want to listen up. Right now, Locked On Jets and Locked On Bears listeners can order the number one rated SimpliSafe home security system for 50% off. This is their biggest offer of the year, and you do not want to miss it. In an emergency, 24/7 monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real, so you can get priority police response. SimpliSafe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. And 24/7 professional monitoring service costs less than $1 a day, less than half the price of ADT. So don't miss your chance to save big. Get 50% off the new SimpliSafe system at simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. This is a crossover Thursday edition of Locked On Jets and Locked On Bears. I am John from Locked On Jets, along with Lauren from Locked On Bears. All right, Lauren, how do you see this game shaking out?
This is so tough for me because, I don't know what to expect from Mike White, and we don't know what to expect from the Bears, depending on what their quarterback situation is. I think given that Justin Fields is already starting the week limited at practice, even though it's just a walkthrough, that to me is leaves me a lot more optimistic that he will play than I would have been if you'd asked me 12 hours ago, like before that news came out. I really thought they would probably end up sitting him for at least this week, if not a couple of weeks. And the fact that they're already kind of letting him practice on a limited basis signals to me that they're probably more inclined to try and play him this week. Now, I don't think he's going to be 100%, and I think that is going to limit some of what the Bears want to do offensively and what he's going to do, particularly as a runner. And so then it comes down to, let's say, okay, like, I don't think this Jets offense is particularly great, but the Bears defense has been particularly bad. And so it's been onto the Bears offense to try and just sort of outscore the other opponent in a shootout. But I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be up to the task of, you know, getting into a shootout and outscoring an opponent here. But can Mike White, you know, really even still put up a lot of points, even against a bad Bears defense? I don't know if we're going to get, you know, 400 yard Mike White or four interception Mike White, because the Bears have had a knack for turnovers this season, even as they haven't really been any good at stopping you from scoring or getting yards in any other way, though. So I'm definitely leaning Jets victory here, but I don't think it's going to be handily by any means. I mean, that 4.5 point spread is kind of where I find myself. I just don't know where exactly to put the point total here. I'm going to say Jets 24, Chicago Bears 20, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being a 17-13 thing with both quarterback situations kind of being tricky.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you say, because I was going to go Jets 17, Bears 13. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. Jets defense is playing really well. And the thing is, even though the Jets made a quarterback change, this is not really a team that's built around quarterback play. It's not a quarterback-dependent team. They just need to get something. And you know, they did not get enough last week from Zach Wilson, which is probably the biggest reason he's on the bench. But they don't really need a lot from Mike White. This defense has been playing outstanding all season long. Defensive line, it's amazing we haven't talked about Quinnen Williams yet. Quinnen Williams is having a huge breakout season. He's been the best player on the team. He's going to merit all pro consideration. But the Jets have a lot of guys playing well on the defensive line. You got John Franklin Myers, who slides both to end and tackle. You have Carl Lawton, defensive end, who's having a good year. And you have those guys in the back of the defense, the corners that I mentioned in Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. In fact, Lauren, the thing that scared me the most about this matchup was Justin Fields' running ability, because I was having these visions of like him getting in the open field against CJ Mosley and things ending poorly. I felt like that was the biggest threat to the Jets as far as what the Bears offense could produce. And the fact that, you know, even if Fields plays, you know, he may not be 100%. I think that works in the Jets' favor. I don't think it's a dynamic Jets offense with Mike White. I think that they can do just enough, and they have a couple, you know, this team really misses Breece Hall, who was an outstanding rookie running back out of Iowa State. He was carrying the Jets offense, but he got injured a while back in a game at Denver, suffered a season ending knee injury. They still have two pretty solid backs in Michael Carter and James Robinson. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be low scoring, but I like the way this Jets defense is playing. I think Mike White can do just enough to get the Jets across the finish line. So I am going to go with I'm going to steal your prediction. I'm going to say it is Thanksgiving. You know, I appreciate you sharing with me. Jets 17, Bears 13.
Yeah, certainly. I think if Trevor Siemian plays in lieu of Justin Fields, I don't know that the Bears will get above 10 points. You know,
I'm going to love the flashbacks to the 2019 game between the Jets, because you know they're going to show like the flashes, and like they'll show like three pass attempts, which will be like all three of Trevor Siemian's completions as a member of the Jets.
Yeah, 100%. And even if, you know, if Justin, that's why I'm torn, because like, again, like what level of Justin Fields are we going to get? Because is he going to be, are they going to be scared to do the design quarterback running plays? And so would all his rushing then come on scrambles? And then is he just going to slide at the first sign of contact, you know, as soon as he gets to the open field? Because part of what has made Justin Fields so dynamic is that like he's making three guys miss as a runner, and he's extending these plays and not always exactly putting his body in the line. He's not usually lowering a shoulder into anybody, but he's certainly confident in bouncing off of some contact and slipping through the arms of players. And will he have that same confidence if his left shoulder's in pain? And so I'm with you that I can easily see an outcome here that is on the lower scoring end. But if you get closer to a healthy Justin Fields and this offense can start rolling a little bit, then you know, the Jets maybe playing from behind a little bit and have to open things up as well. And then you start to get things rolling on that end. But I agree. We're not going to see the types of shootouts certainly that the Bears have been in the last couple of weeks, but I don't know if it'll be as low scoring as the 3-10 Jets Patriots game. That was just seemed pretty miserable to watch offensively in both directions
I mean, it's 10-3 and the only touchdown came on a punt return. So literally like the special teams from New England outscored both offenses.
And we saw the Bears give up a kickoff return touchdown last week to Cordarrelle Patterson, and the Bears' own kickoff return man, Velus Jones, had like a 55-yard return, man. I don't know. Do you see how have the Jets special teams been beyond that one punt return? Is that a real thing that could be a swing, or do you see that as more of kind of a fluke last week?
It actually has been pretty good. Greg Zuerlein's been the first good kicker the Jets have had since 2018 when Jason Myers made the Pro Bowl. And then ever since he left in free agency, the Jets have had a nightmare of a time finding a kicker. So, you know, they've done a good job with kicker. The punt coverage has been outside of that, the punt coverage has been pretty solid. So Jets actually have pretty good special teams. Last week was kind of a fluke. And I think what happened was it was a windy day in Foxborough and Braden Mann was kicking into the wind. And I think he was kind of like rattled by like the fact he was kicking into the wind because it was a bad wind that day. And he just hit the ball too hard because and it didn't get enough hang time. So he kind of just uncorked the line drive and he outkicked his coverage. So I think the Jets special teams are solid. I don't think that this is a Jets special teams that's going to cost them many more games.
Yeah, I think a lot of what this is going to come down to is like, to me, I circle the Mike White turnovers. You know, even in the 400-yard game he had last season, he still had two picks, I think, in that one, and then, you know, four against the Buffalo Bills. And if the Bears can get one or two off of White, I think that goes a long way towards swinging this one. But if he can just manage the game, you know, check down where he needs to, take care of the football, rely on the running game and defense, then I think the Jets should be in pretty good control here. John, it's been a lot of fun previewing this game with you. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. I hope your listeners have a happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank everyone for tuning into this Crossover Thursday podcast, whether you're a Locked On Jets or Locked On Bears listeners. I want to thank you for making Locked On Bears or Jets your first listen each and every day. If you're looking for your second listen, I think Bears fans should check out Locked On Jets to get that scouting report on their opponent. And Jets fans can check out Locked On Bears to find out more about what is going on with their opponent. Kind of get that, our local experts on every team here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And don't forget to tune back into our respective shows on Monday to break down whatever happens in Sunday's game. So for John Buchko from Locked On Jets, I'm Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again soon.